Good morning. Today's daf in Erevin, Tzadi Ches. We are starting to get the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, 10th parak here in Erevin, final parak of the Masechta. This parak is mostly dedicated to the topic of Hotza'a. As Tosfos points out already in the beginning of this parak belongs more in Shabbos. It belongs more by the Inyanim of Hotza'a. As we point out, Masechta Shabbos, there's not one malacha that's discussed more in quantity than Hotzah and Masechta Shabbos, and here you can tack on this parak as well. This parak also another discussion in the Malach of Hotzah. A lot of topics today that we cover today go back to Masechta Shabbos. We covered this already in Shabbos, but obviously the Gemara in Shabbos was quoting our Mishnayos here, and so we get to see it now from our perspective. Here are our Mishnayos. The Mishnah over here describes the person reading. He's reading a Sefer. Now reading a Sefer, Rashi points out in the first Mishnah, here on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. So a sefer just simply means it's a scroll. So all Sfarim back then, the idea of having a book and binding and pages, so that's a modern convention. You know what I mean, in the context of the Mishnah. So sefer over here means that it was a scroll. So the Mishnah describes two scenarios. We started the Mishnah. Hayakor b'sefer alei skufa. So scenario number one is that you're reading the sefer on the iskufa, some sort of threshold that exists between the house and the street. I mean, it's galgal ha-sefer miyado. And you let go on one of the sides of the sefer. One of the sides of the sefer now rolls out into the street. So go low, it's slow, so you can roll it back to you. That needs clarification. We're going to clarify when we get to the Gemara in terms of what exactly the scenario was. Ha-yikari b'roshagag, the second scenario of the Mishnah, is that you're on the rooftop and you're reading the sefer while on the rooftop. There's gagal sefer miyado, and what happens is that the sefer rolls from your hand. Ashlo igiala asara tfachin golo et slow. So now, if you can imagine and visualize the sefer, the scroll hanging down from the rooftop, you're still holding a side, and it's dangling in the air on the side of the rooftop. So as long as it's not within 10 tfachim of the ground, so the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says you can roll it back to you. Mishigiala asara tfachim. But if it were to reach in within 10 tfachim of the ground, and the ground is Rishus Arabim, so then now you can't bring it back to you. All this is going to be discussed in the Gemara as to why not. So Hochol Aksav, so what you're going to do now is that you're going to turn it over so that the Ksav is not revealed, and that the Ksav is going to be facing the wall. Why? Well, we're going to discuss when we get to the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Amar Afilo Ein Mesuk Ben Haaretz Ela Kamala Machat. Golo is slow. Rabbi Huda, Shitas Rabbi Huda is that as long as it's not touching the ground, it could be even one needle or just a hair's breadth from the ground, so then you could roll it towards you. And then finally, the third sheet of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilo Ba'aretz Atzmo, Golo at Sloshia L'chadavar Mishim Shvus Omer B'fnei Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that even if it's on the ground, you could roll it back to you. We're talking about a Shvus, we're talking about Nisa D'Rabbanan, and we're talking about Kisvei HaKodesh, the preservation and the sanctity of Sefer Torah, or one of the Sefer Tanakh. Presumably over here, this would apply to any of the Sefer Tanakh. Presumably, although Rashi doesn't say that. So then you can roll it back to you. And again, much to discuss over here in the Mishnah, much to be explained. Just a couple of Rashis I'm going to highlight over here in the Mishnah. The first Rashi, which we already went over, that calls for Masuim Bimei Arishonim Asuyim Beglila B'Sefer Torah Kis Sefer Torah Shalanu. So much like you see our Sefer Torah, so that's the way the Sfarim looked back then. All the Sfarim looked back then. Sounds pretty clear from Rashi that the Sefer Kodesh that we're discussing over here could be any of the Sefer Tanakh. Okay, in the Perek in Shabbos in Kol Kisvei, certainly we were talking about any of the Sfarim of Tanakh. Anyway, Mishum Shvos. Look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi says that we're talking over here about an Issur D'Rabbanan. Why are we talking about Issur D'Rabbanan? So Rashi over here highlights an important Yisod that takes us through the entirety of the Mishnah. Kagon's there. Shalom nafal miyado. Shari achaz berosho echad. V'ein kan ela mishum gzera. So Rashi says over here that this is not otzah min haTorah, because you're still holding on to one side of the scroll. Since you're holding on to one side of the scroll, it's never viewed min haTorah as if it went from one rishus into another rishus. Yes, it rolled into another rishus. And even if it actually did roll into another rishus, by virtue of the fact that you're holding a side, so halachically speaking, that's ki'ilu, the sefer is still within the same rishus that you're in. And it's only a gzera d'rabbanan that would inhibit you from rolling it back to you. Okay, good. So there's Gzera D'Rabbanan. So the Machlokas in the Mishnah of when the Gzera D'Rabbanan applies, but Rashi over here gives us the basic yesod that because you're holding aside, so therefore it's min haTorah. It never really switched domains. And what is Gzera D'Rabbanan? Rashi goes on to conclude. Well, the concern is going to be is that all you need to do is just let go on your side, and now the item has made the transfer. And once the item has made the transfer, and now you bring it back, that would be an Issur D'Oraisa. Okay. So there is a lot to discuss within the Mishnah. And so let's begin the discussion. The first case of the Mishnah, two scenarios in the Mishnah. The first one is that you're on the threshold. And then what happens is that while on the threshold, so then the sefer, one side of the sefer falls out and goes into the road, into the Rishus HaRabim. So you're on the iskufa. What is the iskufa echidam? Yilem iskufa Rishus HaYachid, v'kama Rishus HaRabim. So let's give a simple description, which the iskufa, the threshold itself, has the measurements, the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, 10 tefachim high, an area 4x4. And it's in front of Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, "V'lo gezrin d'ma nafa v'asel asuyeh." And we don't make a gzera. And there's no concern, there's no rabbinic concern, meaning by virtue of the fact that you're holding one side, so that allows you to bring it back to you. So the Gemara says, "Money, Rabbi Shimonhi." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so then if what we just described is correct, so then we can identify the author of that first scenario is, and that's Rabbi Shimon. And that is called Avar Shum Mishum Shvus, and Omid Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. Which Rabbi Shimon are we talking about? The one in our Mishnah. Meaning in the second scenario of the Gog, Rabbi Shimon says that even if it's on the floor, we're talking about Issur D'Rabbanan, we're talking about Kisvei HaKodesh. Okay, so the Kisvei HaKodesh is going to overweigh, it's going to override the possible rabbinic concern. So over here in our first case in the Mishnah, assuming the Iskufa is the Rishus HaYachid and it rolls out to Rishus HaRabim, but you're holding on to your side, so we're talking about Issur D'Rabbanan and Kisvei HaKodesh allows you to roll it back up. Good. So that could be now an explanation of the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, okay, but then you know what the problem is? The Mishnah is a little bit choppy. And that's what the Gemara points out right now. Top at Sadi Chesem and Aleph, Ema Seifa, Rebbe Yehuda Arme Afila Ein, Misulak Min Aretz Elo Kemelo Chut, Golo Atzlo, Rebbe Shimon Arme Afila Ba'aretz Atzma Golo Atzlo. So look at the end of the Mishnah in the second scenario. First, the Mishnah introduces us to Tanakama, which the Gemara here doesn't quote. Then the Mishnah quotes the Shita Rebbe Yehuda. Then the Mishnah quotes the Shita Rebbe Shimon. And so now, follow the Mishnah. So the case of the Iskufa, that's Rabbi Shimon. Then it's two opinions, then followed again by Rabbi Shimon. So Reisha V'Sefer Rabbi Shimon Mitzias Rabbi Huda, and it's just really choppy. So you're telling me that the ratio of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, then a couple of other Tanayim, Tanakama and Rabbi Huda, then Rabbi Shimon again, it's very choppy. So I'm Rabbi Huda in Reisha V'Sefer Rabbi Shimon Mitzias Rabbi Huda. So Rabbi Huda, the Amora, says, okay, it's very choppy. Okay, so it's choppy. So that means to say that but that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah. Okay, so far we have an approach in the Mishnah. You can see the Gemara doesn't love it, but it's an approach which is that the ratio is Rabbi Shimon, and the Mishnah just reads a little bit choppy. Okay, so Rabbi Amar, so the Gemara is going to give us a second approach. There are going to be three approaches altogether. Rabbi Amar, second approach, Hacha b'iskufa hanidresses askinan, o mishim b'zayin kisvei HaKodesh HaRabbanan. So Rabbi says, no, you don't have to say that the ratio of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. In fact, you can go a step further. You can say that the ratio of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, as we already saw in the Sefer of the Mishnah, so he's prone, he's sympathetic to the Gzeira, meaning that once the item is in a Rishus HaRabim, even though you're holding an end, so you can't roll it back to you. So because of the concern that maybe you're going to let go, and then after you let go, you're going to roll it back to you, and that will be a hotzah, that will be a transfer. So you see the Rebbe Yehuda holds of Gzera. So why, in the case of the Iskufa, would he not hold of the Gzera? So in the case of the Iskufa, there is more Bizayon Kachin. There's more Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh. Okay. And that means to say, why? So the Gemara here just described that in this Iskufa, in this threshold, there are a lot of people walking over this threshold. It's a threshold. People are coming in and out all the time. And so if I were to leave the Sefer over there, we are now running the risk of people stepping on the Sefer. So over here, because there's more Bizayon Sifrei Kodesh, so therefore, in this case, the Chachamim allowed it. Meaning you still have the standoff between our desire to protect the sanctity of the Sefer. On the other hand, a gzera that maybe you'll violate the malacha of tzah. But over here, we're going to make a distinction between the case of the skufa and the case of the gag, because in the case of the gag, so you just flip over the sefer. Now the ksav is going to be facing the wall. Okay, not the greatest, the Gemara later on is going to say, but still, we're going to literally, pun intended, we're going to save face. But over here, however, if you're talking about the skufa where people are walking back and forth all the time, and now you run the risk of somebody stepping on it, so for there, that's a lot of bizayon. So therefore, the bizayon is going to override the gzera de rabbanan, the concern the chachamim would have that maybe I'll violate hotzah. Eitzvei, the Gemara challenges. Okay, that is our second approach, and that's Rabba's approach. That the author of the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda. It just happens to be a distinction to be made between the case of Gag and Iskufa. Eitzvei, Abai challenges this approach, and that is based on a Braisa. Now, the Braisa makes a distinction, meaning the Braisa over here is discussing our case of the Iskufa, and makes a further distinction that we didn't see together in our Mishnah. And that is so if you are reading on the Iskufa and one side of the Sefer rolls out, so if it goes more than Dalat Amos, you can't bring it back to you. If it rolls within Dalat Amos, so then you can roll it back to you. Now the EMR Iskufa and adjust the Saskin and Mali Toch Dalat Mali Chutz La'arba Amos. Now the Gemara says now. Within Rebbe's approach, this Bryce is really difficult to understand. This differentiation between how far it rolls out. What difference does it make how far it rolls out? Meaning you're holding aside. And again, we operate with the yisod that once you're holding aside, so there has been a no transfer been made. It can go out less than 4 amos. It can go out more than 4 amos. You're holding aside. So there is not going to be a malacha votzah min haTorah when you roll it back to you. Under those circumstances, I don't understand the difference the Bryce is making. And if we're talking about Niskufa and Nidrasas, people are walking back and forth over the threshold all the time, and you're running the risk of somebody stepping on the safer, so then we should roll it back under all circumstances, even if we're rolled out more than 4 amos. So Abayi says, in principle, I understand Rabba's answer, but once you see the Braisa, and there really is no way of explaining the difference between less than 4 amos and more than 4 amos, so Abayi says, we're going to have to give a different explanation. So Abayi says we're going to change an assumption that we started off with. Both Rav Yehuda and Rabbi held by this assumption. Abayi says I'm going to change this assumption. And that is, what is the Iskufa? So we assume that up until now the Iskufa is a Rishos Yachid. So Abayi says no. The Iskufa in our discussion is a Karmelis. That means to say it is 4 by 4 amos, but it is not 10 tvachim high. And so therefore now it has the status of being a Karmelis. And midrabbanan, we've seen this so many times, this is one of the basics in Hotza'ah, when it's not a Rishos Yach, and not a Rishos Rabban, but it still has certain dimensions, and now it's given the status of a Karmelis, so midrabbanan, you're not allowed to carry from Rishos Yach to a Karmelis. And midrabbanan, you're not allowed to carry from Rishos Rabban to a Karmelis, but that's midrabbanan. So be iskufa Karmelis eskinen, Rishos Rabban maveres lefanah, what's in front of it is Rishos Rabban. So, and it rolled out into the Rishos Rabbim, and now we can explain very well the difference between within 4 amos and more than 4 amos. Tok talamos di nafal maisilei lo asile dechiv chata sharele rabbanon. Look, let's say you're on the iskufa, which is a karmelis, and it rolls out less than 4 amos. Even if you were to let go and then bring it back, are you violating an instrument of Torah? The answer is no. In other words, you are only transferring from a Rishos Rabbim to a karmelis. That's an iskufa rabbanon. And even within the Rishos HaRabim, you're only transferring less than 4 amos. That's also Nisa D'Rabbanan. So at worst, you're going to be violating Nisa D'Rabbanan. Now that you're holding on to the end on the Iskufa, so to make another Gezerah on top of what at worst would be Nisa D'Rabbanan, that's too much. That we won't do. However, Chutz HaRabba Amos, but if it rolls out more than 4 amos, D'Imaisi Le'asi L'Dechiv Chatzas Lo Shari Le'Rabbanan. But if it goes out, rolls out more than 4 amos. And if I were to let go and then pick it back up again, I'd be transferring more than 4 amos in Rishos Rabbim. Now that's an Issa D'Oraisa. So for an Issa D'Oraisa, the Chachamim and Gzeira, even if I didn't let go of my end of the scroll. Very good. Now we understand full well the distinction between within 4 amos and more than 4 amos. Yehachi, continuing in the Gemara, Tok Tal Amos Nami Nigzer Dama Mayom Rishos Rabbim L'Rishos Yachid. So the Gemara says, okay, but let me ask you the following question. You're on the threshold, which is between your house and the street. And you're now saying that the threshold is a Karmelis. Fine, I'm with you. and it rolls out, and it rolls out less than 4 amos. So even if I were to let go, pick it up again, and transfer from the street to the iskufa, I'm not violating an issur d'oraisa. All right, but let me ask you a question, says the Gemara. Isn't there a chance that now that you have it in your hand, then you're in the threshold, so now you're just simply going to turn around, walk into the house, and violate the issur d'oraisa of transferring from a rishus harabim to a rishus hayachid? Now, v'chitem came in the mafsek, it's karmel shleislam ba, and the Gemara says, and I'm already anticipating what you're going to say. Well, no, you didn't transfer directly from a rishus harabim to rishus hayachid. What you did is, if in fact you let go, so then you picked it up, you transferred from a rishus harabim, then you went to a karmelis, and from the karmelis you went into a rishus hayachid. And isn't the karmelis going to separate and create a non-consecutive transfer from a rishus hayachid to a rishus harabim? Well, I'm sorry, in this case, a rishus harabim to rishus hayachid? Doesn't that happen? But the Gemara says, no, it actually, that doesn't happen. V'amar Rava, the Gemara said, the Gemara quotes Rava. We saw this back in Masechta Shabbos a couple of times. So v'amar Rava, amavir chepetz mitchilas arba l'sof arba ve'avir derech alav chayev. So we know the halach is that if I transfer dalams rishus harabim, and even if during the transfer I pick the item up over 10 tfachim, right, over my head, over 10 tfachim. So if you look at the item from the perspective of the item, it started in Rishus Rabbim, ended in Rishus Rabbim, it did travel 4 amos, but it also went over my head, and over my head is a Malkum Pater. Remember, Rishus Rabbim only goes 10 tfachim high. Above 10 tfachim is no longer Rishus Rabbim. That airspace is considered a Malkum Pater. And nevertheless, the halacha is you're going to be chayiv. So as long as it is a continuous transfer, even though there was an interim period that I went through a Malkum Pater, it's still going to be a violation of being Mavir Da'amas Rishus Rabbim. So, and the same thing over here. If I continuously transfer from the street to my house, and even though I walk through the threshold, even though the threshold is a karmelis, that doesn't break up the malacha de oraisa, a transfer from Rishus Haram to Rishus Yachid. So the Gemara says, so why aren't we concerned about this? So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about where the threshold over here is really long. And Rashi explains over here, I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but Rashi explains over here, with a long threshold, so you're going to come to your senses. Meaning before finishing the transfer to go from the street back into your home, so it's going to take a couple of steps, and at that point in time, you're going to realize, oh, wait 1 second, I can't do it at Shabbos. So the Gemara says, basically, it's what the Gemara says. And by the time you're going to step foot into your house, you're going to remember that you can't do it, and maybe that's what the Bryce is describing. The Gemara says, or maybe you don't have to say that. Maybe you could simply say it's a standard iskufa. And v'stam kisvei ha-koresh yunam ayin bahu ummanach lehu. So, but we're talking about a sefer. Who's not going to want to read a sefer? In other words, you start off by reading it. So when you pick it back up again and you bring it up back onto the threshold, so you're going to take a moment. You're going to pause and take a moment and look at the sefer. And then you're going to walk back into your home. And so therefore, it's not going to be a continuous transfer to go from the street into your house. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you that you're going to pause and you're going to read. But can't it be that you're going to pause and read in the street? Meaning, remember, what happened is that it rolled down to the street, okay? And you let go. And you picked it up. So, and now you're going to walk back and you're walking into your house. And the Gemara is assuming you're going to pause and read. Maybe your pausing and reading occurred in the street. And then after you paused and read, so now you're going to have a continuous transfer into your house. You went through a karmelis. Okay, but as we pointed out, as long as it's one motion of going from street into house, even though there's a karmelis in the middle, that still would be a violation of hotza'ah, or in this case, hachnasa. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say that, or why aren't we concerned about that? So the Gemara's answer, hamani ben azay hi damar ma'alcha me'damei. So the Gemara says over here, we'll introduce the Shita ben azay. We've been introduced to him already a number of times when discussing the malach of hotza'ah. Benazi takes a very interesting position that every step you make, every time you put your foot down and you lift your foot up to make another step, so that is a hanacha, that is an akira. So foot down, hanacha, foot up, akira. And so, according to Benazi, by definition, what you're going to end up doing is that you're going to be stopping in the karmelis. Not physically stopping, but halachically stopping in the karmelis. So the Gemara says, V'dama zarek lehu mizrak. So the Gemara makes a suggestion which hopefully will shock all of us, which is, well, maybe, even according to Ben Azai, if you throw an item from Rishus Ram to Rishus Yachid, so you're going to be Chayev. So maybe over here, you threw the Kisvei Kodesh. The Gemara's response, the Gemara even proposing it sounds strange, but the Gemara's response, which is intuitively all of our responses, I'm Rav Yochanan, I'm Moed Ben Azai, I'm sorry, First, let me finish the question. Damar Rav Yochanan Moed Ben Azai Bezarek. So Rav Yochanan says that Ben Azai agrees that when you throw something, so there is no pause in the middle. So the Gemara says Amar Avacha Barav Azos Samar Sim Mizarkin Kitzvei Kodesh. So you don't throw Kitzvei Kodesh, right? Which both is intuitive and also codified in the Gemara. So you don't throw Kitzvei Kodesh. So therefore, there's no concern. So to the concern the Gemara is entertaining, that maybe what you're going to do after you let go of the sefer, you go into the street, you pick up the sefer from the street, you're going to walk it into your house. It was less than Dalamus, so you're not violating Mavir Dalamus Bershus Rabban. But maybe there's a concern that what you're going to do is that while in the street, you're going to pause for a moment, take a look at the sefer, finish that pasuk that you were reading, and then walk into your house and violate the Malach of Achnasa, going from Rishus Rabban to Rishus Yachin. And the fact that there's a karmelis in the middle shouldn't be a break in the action, right? The halacha does not view it as a break in the action. The Gemara says, yeah, but once we subscribe to Ben Azai, which in this case we are doing, so then there would not be concern, because by definition, you're stepping in the karmelis is by definition going to be a hanacha in the karmelis, and then when you step foot from the karmelis into your house, that's a new akira and a new hanacha. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of section number one of our Mishnah. So the Mishnah presents a scenario in which you're reading the Gilyon, the sefer on the Iskufa. You let go of one side, it rolls out into the street. So can you roll it back in again? The answer is yes. The Iskufa is what? A Rishus Yachid or possibly a Karmelis. And so what we've gone over now in the Gemara is three opinions in terms of how to set up the case. So the first opinion is set up the case simple. Skufa is the Rishus Yachid, streets the Rishus Rabban. You can roll it up. Isn't there been a concern like we saw in the case of the Gag? So the Gemara says, yeah, but the author of our Mishnah of the case of the Skufa is Rabbi Shimon. He says that when you're considering the Gzeret de Rabbanan versus the Bizanyan of Sifrei Kodesh, so Sifrei Kodesh is going to win. And so therefore, under these circumstances, it's not going to be Gzeret de Rabbanan. We saw Rabbi Shimon at the end of the Mishnah. That's the case of the Iskufa. The Mishnah gets a little bit choppy. So the first approach of the Gemara is, yeah, the Mishnah gets a little choppy. Second approach of the Gemara was Rava. Rava says that the Tanakam of our Mishnah, the case of the Iskufa is not Rabbi Shimon, but rather it's Rabbi Yehuda. So why not be concerned now, just like in the case of the Gag, where in the case of the Gag, you can't roll it back. So why not say the same thing with the Iskufa? So a distinction to be made between the case of the Gag and the case of the Iskufa, where in the case of the Iskufa, a lot of people are walking over the Iskufa. There's more Bizayon Sefer Kodesh in the case of the Iskufa than there is in the case of the Gag. That's the second approach. And the third approach is Abaye, which is just change the assumption. The Iskufa over here is not a Rishus Yachid, but rather it's a Karmelis. That's why, at worst, one is going to be violating Nisa Derabanan. To make a Gzera so that one will not violate Nisa Derabanan, that already is too far. Continuing in the Gemara, two dots. Hayakori Berosh Gag. Here we're now in the second scenario of the Mishnah. You're reading the sefer on the rooftop. So Umishar v'atani kitzvei kosvei svarim tefillin mezuzos lo hitir lahen lahafech yiri al paneha. So here the Gemara quotes a braisa. The Gemara is offended right now by the idea that you're going to be turning, you're going to be flipping the sefer over so that the ksav is facing the wall. Gemara says, look, I'm quoting a braisa. It's not the impression you get at all from this braisa. By the way, these braisas are Masechet Sofer. In other words, we have a Masechet that we don't see in the Daf Yomi that goes through exactly how we should care for Sifrei Kodesh, how to write Sifrei Kodesh, how to care for Sifrei Kodesh, etc., etc. So anyway, so over here, the braisa. So Kosei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos Lo Hitir Lahem La'Hafech Yiri Al Paneha. So when you have Kisvei... when you have Sfarim, Tefillin, Mezuzah, so you don't turn it over, and so that its Ksav is going to be facing the ground or facing a wall. But rather, the proper care for it, if you need to cover the Ksav for whatever reason, is that you take a Begin, and you cover it with a Begin. So that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah basically says you invert it, so that the Ksav is facing the wall. So Hasam Efshar, Hachalo Efshar, the Gemara's answer is very simple. So, yeah, in other words, the best thing to do is to cover it with a baguette. But if you can't cover it with a baguette, like in our case of the sefer now hanging from a gog, it's very impractical to cover with a beged. So then the ilo apich. So over here where there's no other choice, so therefore you're just gonna flip it over, flip it around, so that the ksav is facing the wall. So I'm sorry, apich ika bizayin kisvei kodesh tvei. So in other words, we're choosing over here between something which obviously is not a good situation, where the ksav is just hanging from the roof and the ksav is facing outside, which is it's exposed then. Exposure over here, it's a bizayon, it's exposed to the elements, whatever, it's just not appropriate. So over here, we'd like to, and I'll use the pun for a second time, we'd like to save face. So over here, saving face would be, so flip it over. Covering with a beged is just simply not an option, it's not practical. So you simply flip it over and okay, you do the best you can. Good. Hofcho Alexav. Okay, now we get to the, not the next part of the Mishnah, but still staying on this case of the Gog, but now we're going to be covering a topic which we could have asked in the Mishnah, but just I simply waited until we get to the Gemara, and that is, so now I have a dangling sefer from the roof, and it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's not within 10 tefachim of the ground. The Gemara's question is very simple. What is it resting on right now? It's hanging from the roof. So it may be in the airspace of the Rishos HaRabim, but there's no anacha. So over here, what's the concern altogether? Even if I were to let go and then pick it up again and bring it back, did I transfer from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid? It was just hanging in the airspace. There was no hanacha. In order for there to be a transfer, you have to start off with it first being munach. And so the Gemara's question is really simple. Where's the hanacha? So hofcha laksav v'halanach. There was no hanacha. So what's the issue here altogether? So Amar Rava, because of Meshupa. So Rava says is that, okay, when we first envisioned the case, so it was a perfectly flat wall, it was running perpendicular with the ground, and so that's why we had this picture in our head of the sefer hanging in the air. But the Gemara says, but let's just change that a little bit. In that, the wall slanted so that there's an incline, and so now, where is the sefer resting? It's resting on the inclined wall. So Amale Abaye b'mayu kiptel masnisim b'kosu mashupa. So Abaye says, well, that's interesting. So you're telling me that the case of the Mishnah is that it's an inclined wall. So I'm a seifa. Okay. So can we go over the next part of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda Amar afilo ainu masiluk minaretz elam lo chut golo etzlo. So Rishitas Rabbi Yehuda is that the as long as it's within a hairbreadth of the ground, so you can roll it back to you. V'han nachle. So the Gemara says, now you're saying that we're talking about an inclined wall. If it's an inclined wall, there is a hanacha. That's the inclined wall. So how did you understand Shitas Rav Yehuda if in fact we're talking about an inclined wall? So chesur mechzer v'hachi ketani. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to fill in some of the missing parts of the Mishnah. Here's how the Mishnah is going to read now. Generally speaking, if it goes within 10 fachim of the ground, it's a problem. When is that a problem? When the wall is inclined and now it's resting on the inclined wall. Now, Ava Bekoso, She'ena Meshupas, we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Now, if it's not an inclined wall, meaning now the Mishnah is switching gears and talking about what if the wall is not inclined? So, Lamala Mishlosha Gola, Solamat Mishlosha Hochalaksav. So now we understand that if it's within three Tvachim of the ground, so now it's Munach, right? Because anything within three Tvachim is as if it's on the ground. That's the principle of Lavud. So the Rashi over here, interesting Rashi describes it as Arismichta, but that could be synonymous with the term lavud. But anyway, so anything within three tefachim is lavud, and that's why now hovchal alaksav. But if it's above three tefachim, so there is no halacha. So now you can roll it back to you. Okay, so that's how you're going to read the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilo Ainu Masulk Minaretz V'Chule Debeina Nanacha Gabe Mashehu. So the according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's insufficient that's within three tefachim of the ground. It actually has to be on something. It has to be on the physical ground. So now the Gemara says, now we're going to go back to a discussion that we had back in Masechet Shabbos, right? A long time ago. Well, okay. Right? Halfway, about two-thirds of the way through Shabbos. Actually, it came up also in the beginning of Shabbos as well. But anyway, machlokis between the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva of the principle of Klutim Kamisha Huncha, whether we subscribe to Klutim Kamisha Huncha or we don't subscribe to it. I don't want to go through it all right now. But for our purposes right now, suffice to say that according to the Chachamim, airspace in of itself is not considered a hanacha, and according to the Chachamim, it's got to be physically resting on something. This is Rava's understanding of the Shita of the Chachamim. Toch shloshel rabbanan tzarech hanacha, that even within three tfachim, it still needs a hanacha. Being within three tfachim for the halachas of hanacha is insufficient. Now, lema ketanayim alashmaite. So the Gemara says, okay, but now as we just went over our case over here, where the sefer now is going into the airspace of the Rishus Rabbim and either just touching the ground or it physically has to be on the ground, it comes down now, the Rav is making a controversial statement, meaning it's a machlokas tanayim. And when Rava first presented it back in Masechet Shabbos, it sounded like he was saying something which was consensus. And now we come to understand that it's not consensus. Machlokas tanayim. And the Gemara says we're just uncomfortable with that. So Ela Kula Rabbi Yehuda v'Chasura Mechzer v'Achi Ketani. So the Gemara says okay. So there is no machlokas tanayim here in our Mishnah. The Gemara says that once again that we're going to fill in the blanks in our Mishnah. And this is how you're going to read our Mishnah. And now with our new reading of the Mishnah, comes out now that Rav said something that's not controversial at all. It's Shitas Rav Yehuda. Let's see how our Mishnah works. Our Mishnah is talking about an inclined wall. But if the wall's not inclined, even within three tefachim, you still have the right to roll it back to you. Because it's not on the ground. Because Rav Yehuda says that it's not considered an anacha until it's physically on the ground. So that means to say that the Shita of the Chachamim is in fact Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are one and the same. And what Rav Yehuda is saying is that vis-a-vis the halachas of hanacha, so hanacha means it has to be physically resting on the ground. We do have the halacha of Lavud, but Lavud and hanacha don't necessarily coordinate. Lavud tells us that, yes, it's within the ground, it's ke'ilu, it's on the ground, but for the purpose of hanacha, it physically has to be on the ground. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is teaching us, is that if it's physically on the ground, then now you have hanacha, so now gzera d'rabanan needs to be put in force. But if it's not resting on the ground, so then there is no hanacha, and even a hair breadth within the ground is not considered a hanacha, and therefore you can roll it back to you. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first Mishnah. And we covered the entire sugya of that first Mishnah. We're now going to start and finish in Mirz Hashem the second Mishnah and the second half of today's Daas, Zil Shofnei Chalon. So you have a window facing the street, and you have a window sill, and the sill in front of the window. So Zil Shofnei Chalon, Osin Alav, Not Limimena B'Shabbos. So what could you put on the window? So the window sill is exterior of your house. What is it over? So the Gemara is going to discuss. But anyway, so what could you put on the windowsill? So the Mishnah says anything you want. So nosin lav, not limimen, you could put something on it, you could take something off the windowsill from the perspective of the house. So the Gemara says, haizis demafik lehecha. Okay, but we need more clarity, says the Gemara. And the sill is facing over what? Ilim demafik lerushus rabim. So it's facing over rushus rabim, lechus jamal nafa vasili suye. So the Gemara says, well, if the sill itself is over Rishus Rabbim, I can easily understand or envision the Chachamim being concerned that you put something in a windowsill, right, and it's short and it's narrow, and it's on a windowsill and it's over Rishus Rabbim, it's going to fall into the Rishus Rabbim. And then you're going to want to pick it up and bring it back in, and that is that's achnasa, that's going from a Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yachid. So the Gemara says, okay, Ela Demapik L'Rishus Yachid. So the Gemara says, what's the alternative? It's opened up into another Rishus Yachid. Right, maybe it's over a chatzir, another Rishus Yachid, it's a pshita. So there's no gzera, because even in the event that it does fall out and I do transfer, again, at worst, what are we talking about? Maybe Nisa de Rabbanan, if the Rishus Yachid is owned by somebody else, or there's joint ownership of the Rishus Yachid. Okay, but for that, the Chachamim are not going to make a gzera and prohibit you from putting things on the windowsill. So that doesn't make any sense. So Amar Rabbi La'olam demapik l'Rishus Rabbim. So the windowsill is facing over a Rishus Rabbim, like we originally presented. And why aren't the Chachamim concerned about it falling into a Rishus Rabbim and you picking it up? Because the allowance of putting things on the windowsill are only breakable items. Breakable items are the only things that you're allowed to put on a windowsill. Now, admittedly, when you read the Mishnah, you don't get that impression, but this is a clarification of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, if I put things on the windowsill that don't break, so now the Chachamim are concerned. It's going to fall from the windowsill into the street. You're going to pick it up from the street and put it back on the windowsill. And that would be a transfer. That's Achnasa. So the only things that you are allowed to put on are only breakable items. So that if, in fact, it falls, you're not going to want to pick it up. Okay. And yes, I'm also wondering about the hazard that you just created in the Rishus Rabbim that you didn't pick up. Okay. And for some reason, the Gemara does not address it. Okay. Anyway, Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara quotes the Brice is supporting this as well. Zishalif Neachalon, Yotzel Rishus Rabbim, Nosna Lav. So when you have the windowsill, and it's in front of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So here the Brisa is spelling everything out. In other words, it's over Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, like we like the Gemara presented. And so what can you put on the windowsill? Nos and love. Ke'aros, vikosos, kitonios, tsluchios. So you see the list of things that are mentioned. All the jars, jugs, glasses, things that can break. Umishamish b'chol ha'kosel. Ad asara ha'tachtoniyom. Ha'tachtonim. And you could make use within the wall up until 10 tfachim, up until the bam 10 tfachim. Right, the bam 10 tfachim now are going to be considered airspace of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'im yesh is acher lamato mimenu. Now let's say you have a windowsill followed by another sill below it. So mishamish bo, uve'elyon em mishamshim bo, ela keneged chalono. Now the lower windowsill that you could use, the upper windowsill, the one that actually faces your window, meaning what we would describe simply as a windowsill, so that you can only use the area that faces your window, but the extra that goes off to the side, that portion you can use. Okay. That last part of the Brisa needed clarification, meaning it's funny. We quoted the whole Brisa to provide clarification, which it did, meaning that the windowsill is over Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the items that you're putting on the windowsill are all breakable items, or much like what we suggested, which the Brisa now goes ahead and clarifies. But then we got to the end of the Brisa, and then the Brisa described one sill over another sill, and in the upper sill, I can only use the area that faces the window. Now that needs clarification, and the Gemara provides it over here. So, hi ziz hechidami, idolis be'araba makom patrahu, ve'afilu keneged chalono nami lo yishamish. Now, this window sill, right, in the case of the sill over the sill. So this window sill, so if it's not for tfachim, so the Gemara says, so then, even keneged chalono, even the part that's facing the window, you cannot use that part, lo yishtamish. Now it's interesting over here, and Rashi picks up on it right away. If it's less than four tfachim, so what is it? So then it's a makom patur. So then what's the problem? Rashi himself addresses this question. What's the problem? So then I'm taking something from my house and I'm putting it on the very narrow window so that halachically is a makom patur. Shouldn't that be okay? And even if it falls out into the street and I put it back up onto the windowsill, you're transferring from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim onto a makom patur, and that should be okay. And the Gemara over here just casually says, oh, you know, you can't do that. You can't use a windowsill if it's less than four tefachim. So Rashi's bothered by that. Rashi over here has an interesting yesod. Rashi writes, Rashi Dibra Maskal Delais by Arba Makom Patur Hu. He writes right in the middle of that Rashi, Miu Tashmish Tadir Lo Mishtari Bei. The Lo Chazil Is Tashmish Ev Shichil Kelam Lamepel Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Apa Gav De Ukmina Bekelam Anishbarim Hanimili Bidi Islay Dalid. The Lo Shichil Lamepel Kula Hai. Ava Hacha De Ruba Naple Mech Le Kaman De Shadil Lehejil Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Rashi over here gives the Yisod of frequent usage. Meaning, yes, on a rare basis, so you could use a makom patur, transfer from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a makom patur, transfer from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a makom patur, that's fine. But to do it on a frequent basis, that you can't do. Meaning, because we know what's going to happen, something that Rashi describes, it's going to fall off the windowsill, and because it's so narrow, it's going to be so frequent. So basically, when you're putting anything on the windowsill, you're basically putting out in the street. Okay, so that's Rashi's yesod over here. Anyway, fine. V'izbe arba, back to the Gemara. Now, if our windowsill, our upper windowsill, the one that faces the window, if it's an area for tfachim, so b'kuli akosel ishamish. So I don't understand. So now make use of the entire sill, not only the part that faces the window, but even the sides that jut off to, even the parts that jut off to the side. So Amar Abaye, tachton di'izbe arba'a, ve'elyon leizbe arba'a. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to explain. That the sill that's below, that's the full four tfachim, an area of four tfachim, that's fine. So the sill that's above, that's facing the window sill, it's less than four. So then how can I use it? V'chalon mashlima so l'dalad. But there's actually the depth of the window itself. When I take the depth of the window, add that to the sill in front of it, so now it's mashlim, it gets me to dalad by dalad. But that's only, obviously, the part that is in coordination with the actual depth of the window. That explains, keneged chalom mishtamish dechore chalonu. So, good. So now I understand that the portion that's facing the chalon, that's considered chore chalon, that's considered a crevice of the window. And that part you could use. Daigis or daigis aser. But the parts that jut off to the side, so that's less than the shear. And you don't have anything that's being mashlim the shear. And I was thinking that even though that's true, it is, in other words, the sill that faces the window is a Rishus Yachid. And these are extensions of the Rishus Yachid. You know, can't you call the side portions Chorei Rishus Yachid? But the Gemara says, no, we don't. Okay? I definitely need better understanding of why we don't call that Chorei Rishus Yachid, but we don't. And so therefore, I can only use the portion of the sill that is directly opposed to the window. I'd kind of stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow with the new Mishnah, new sugya. Let's review. We dealt with two sugyas this morning. The first sugya, you're reading a sefer, scenario number one, you're reading the sefer on the skufa, while holding to one side of the sefer, the other side of the sefer rolls onto the street. Scenario number two, you're reading the sefer on the rooftop, you let go of one side of the sefer, and it rolls down the side of the rooftop. In the case of the skufa, the Gemara says unequivocally, you roll it back to you. In the case of the rooftop, machlokas. What we come to understand by the end of the sugya is that although the Mishnah makes it sound like there are three opinions, we've come to understand now there really are two opinions, the Shita Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that once it rolls down to the ground, so even though you're holding the other side, even though Minat Torah, when you roll it back, you're not transferring, but the Chachamim were concerned, Gzeira, that if I let go of my side and then subsequently pick it up again and roll to me, so that would be a transfer from going from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachin. And so the Chachamim say, this is all Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim say that even if I didn't let go, I can't roll it back. What do? You flip it over. Masha'in King Shitas Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah is that no, as long as you're holding on to your side, you're not talking about Nisa Daraisa. Yes, there's a rabbinic concern, but yes, also there's Bizayon Kisvei Kodesh. And Rabbi Shimon says that the Bizayon Kisvei Kodesh is going to override the rabbinic concern. Good. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara's discussion first, the case of the Iskufa. What is the case of the Iskufa? So the Iskufa is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rishus Yachid. According to Rabbi, it's also Rishus Yachid. If that's true, so the issues that we dealt with is, if that's true, then that means then that the ratio of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, and so it presents a choppiness, meaning because now the way the Mishnah presents itself, it's Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yehuda, back to Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda just simply shrugs his shoulder and says, yes, that's how to read the Mishnah. Rabbi says, no, not necessarily. What we'll do is we'll make a distinction between the case of the Iskufa and the case of the Gag, meaning that the ratio of the Mishnah really is Rabbi Yehuda, and we're just going to make a distinction between the case of the Iskufa and the case of the Gag. By the case of the Iskufa, there's more Bizayon Sifrei Kodesh because people are walking over the Iskufa. So therefore, the Chachamim relax the Gzeira so as to preserve and protect the Kedusha of the Sifrei Kodesh. And then the third and final approach in terms of how to understand the case of the Iskufa is Abaye, who says that the Iskufa is a Carmelist. So we're not talking about Nisa D'Oraisa, we're talking about Nisa D'Rabbanan. And to make a Gzeira on a Nisa D'Rabbanan, that already is to go too far. Okay, and then the subsequent discussion in the Gemara, what about maybe a concern that when you let go of the Iskufa, you're gonna pause and read it in the Rishus Rabbim, then walk all the way inside your house. Why not be worried about that? And the Gemara introduced the Shita of Ben Azai of Kol Mahalech Ka'ome Dami. Every step you take is really a new Akira, new Hanacha. Okay. The Gemara discusses the case of the Gag. A couple of things. First of all, flipping over the Ksav in order to save face. So the Gemara says there's a better way to be preserving the Kedusha, the sanctity, and that is to cover it with a baggit. The Gemara says, yeah, if you can cover it with a baggit, great, but if not, so hovcha, you turn over on the side. The Gemara's discussion regarding the when it rolls over the side of the roof and it's hanging and it's dangling, so the Mishnah says if it's within 10 tefachim, so then you can't roll it back. And the Gemara's question, obvious, there's no hanacha. So why can't you roll it back? So what we did is that we constructed two scenarios in the Mishnah. One with an inclined wall, where it's actually resting on the wall, and then the second scenario, which you have to read into the Mishnah, which the Gemara did, and that is it's a flat wall. So if it's an inclined wall, so now the concern is, not a concern, the reality is that there's a hanacha. If it's a flat wall, so then there's no hanacha. Okay. And then the only issue is that on a flat wall, if it makes it all the way to the ground. And we also clarified that if it's a flat wall, even a hair breadth within the ground, that's not considered a hanacha. Yes, there's a halacha of lavud, but vis-a-vis the halachas of hanacha, it has to be physically on the ground. Finally, last thing we discussed this morning was the Mishnah on Sadi Ches Amud Beis, and that is the case of the Ziz. The windowsill, so you could put items on the windowsill, there's no problem with that, even though the windowsill is over the Rishos HaRabim. The Gemara is concerned, why aren't we concerned that maybe the item is going to fall and break? Answers the Gemara, that no need to be concerned because we're talking about items that are breakable. And so therefore, if it falls, the concern should be that maybe the item is going to fall and you're going to pick it up from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. And the response is no concern. Because the only allowance to put things on the windowsill, only things that break. And the last discussion is that the Braisa, which discussed your windowsill, resting on top of another sill that's jutting out of the house, the windowsill, you can only make use of the part of the sill that faces the window. How to explain that? So the Gemara gives an explanation of how to deal with that case. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, we start with the Mishnah.